in the octave of Christmas, naturally we go to the scriptural accounts of Jesus' childhood, infancy and childhood. Meaning we go to the Gospels of Luke and of Matthew, who have two different versions of what happened in the Jesus' childhood. Yesterday, the Feast of the Holy Innocents, we looked at Matthew's version and we heard about what happened after the Magi visited the child and then left, and then Herod, enraged over the whole business, massacred the baby boys in Bethlehem, and Jesus and the Holy Family fled to Egypt. We remarked yesterday that the chronology is a little bit difficult, but it seems most likely that that happened after the events we read about in Luke's Gospel. Here in Luke's Gospel, today and tomorrow, we're pondering the presentation of Jesus in the temple, which is 40 days after his birth. So, if the Holy Family was in Bethlehem, which is very close to Jerusalem, it would make sense that on the 40th day they would go to Jerusalem to the temple. If they were back in Nazareth, that would be a very long trip, and they didn't do that. The Jews didn't take 40-day-year-old children on a very long journey to Jerusalem. But from Bethlehem, it would be possible. It's almost impossible. It's unreasonable to think that they went to Egypt and then came back from Egypt within those 40 days. So we assume that this incident in today's gospel took place before the incident we heard about yesterday. Now, the gospel writers were not intent on giving us a chronology or a newspaper account. They were teaching us about the identity of Jesus and his mission. So in yesterday's gospel, it was very clear that Jesus is a new Moses. Jesus, just like Moses, who was rescued when all the baby boys were being slaughtered, Jesus was rescued when all the baby boys were being slaughtered. And just like Moses escaped into Egypt, Jesus escaped into Egypt. And Moses came back from Egypt to save his people, and Jesus comes back from Egypt to save his people. So it was very clear that Matthew was trying to make that clear. Matthew was making it clear that Jesus is a new Moses. In today's gospel, we read from Luke, Luke's intention is a little bit different. He's not against the image of Moses, but he's building on the understanding of Jesus as the fulfillment of the expectation of the Old Testament. And so this encounter with Simeon is a very important one, because Simeon represents the longing of the chosen people for the coming of the Messiah. A longing, something like waiting in darkness for light to shine. Simeon, even though we're in Christmas now, Simeon is an Advent figure, because he was a figure waiting and waiting for a long, long time. And he was waiting not in complete darkness, because he had received a promise that he would see the Messiah before he died. So that was a light to keep him going, but it was a promise that he carried in his heart. He didn't see with his eyes anything that indicated the promise being fulfilled until 40 days after Jesus was born and he was brought to the temple. So this encounter of Simeon with Jesus in the temple is a indication of the longing of the people being fulfilled, or of the promise of God being fulfilled, or of the people in darkness seeing a great light. That's what this tells us. And Simeon himself says what this means. Remember, Simeon is guided by the Holy Spirit this whole time. He had the promise through the Holy Spirit. He came into the temple because of the Holy Spirit. And when he sees the child, Jesus, he sees something that he could not see with his eyes. He sees something with his spirit. Anyone can see a child. That was no striking revelation. But Simeon saw that this child was the salvation which God prepared in the sight of every people. So he says, you can let me go in peace now. You can let me die now because you've fulfilled your promise. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes. Now he's talking about his physical eyes, not his spirit, eyes of his heart. But my own eyes have seen this now. I've seen salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations, and the glory of your people Israel. He sees in Christ salvation. He sees light. He sees glory. Now, he sees the child with his eyes, but he sees salvation and light and glory with faith. Saying this, now, Mary and Joseph knew the child was Son of God, but they weren't used to having anybody talk about him like that. Well, the shepherds, of course, knew that he was the Messiah because the angel told the shepherds that a Messiah is born in Bethlehem. So that was 40 days ago. Here it says the child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him. They weren't amazed at the truth that was revealed. They were amazed that this guy, Simeon, who's he? He just shows up out of the blue and starts declaring the truth about the child. It's a kind of a proclamation of the gospel, which shows that God has ways of revealing light to people that we don't understand. I mean, even Joseph and Mary didn't even know that Simeon was filled with the Holy Spirit and that he was going to show up. They were amazed. So we sometimes will be taken by surprise when we recognize God working through people or through situations that we had no idea what was happening. This gospel then is a builds on the theme of light breaking into darkness, which is a very prominent theme throughout the Advent and Christmas seasons, light breaking into darkness. The whole coming of the Messiah is a light in the darkness. The star is a light. The angels appearing from heaven, light. The fact that Jesus is born in the middle of the night and that he's born in the darkest days of the season, all build on this idea that some new light is shining on us. In today's first reading, St. John also reflects on this idea of light shining in darkness. We understand it on the physical level because it's very obvious when light is shining, it's very obvious when it's not shining. We know the difference between light and darkness. But spiritually, we should be much more sensitive to this difference. This is what John is talking about, spiritual light. The darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining because Jesus has come. Whoever says he's in the light yet hates his brother is still in the darkness. But hatred is darkness. He might be standing right in the bright midday sun, but if he hates, he's in darkness. Whoever loves his brother remains in the light, even in the middle of the night. Love is light. And there is nothing in him to cause a fall. Whoever hates his brother is in darkness. He walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. This was the darkness we saw in Herod yesterday. Herod had every opportunity to be enlightened. He had, first of all, he had the Old Testament tradition. He had the prophets. He had scholars consult about when the Messiah or where the Messiah was going to be born. He had the Magi come to him and tell him that the Messiah was born, the King of the Jews. And yet, because of his hatred, he was in darkness. But Simeon, who had seemingly none of the advantages, had the Holy Spirit. He had love for God. He had a heart welcoming the guidance of the Spirit, so he lived in light even before he saw Jesus There was a light guiding him like a star. And when he saw Jesus, it was like the sunshine breaking into the night. There's one additional aspect of this passage I want to ponder for just a moment. Not what Simeon says about the child, but what Simeon says about his mother. You see, the main point of this encounter is the revelation of Jesus as the light, as the glory, as the gift of salvation. But Mary is part of the picture, and this gospel brings it out. He blessed, Simeon blessed the father and the mother, and he said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child," okay, again about the child, "is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted." So he's predicting the coming of the passion. "And you yourself a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Very mysterious thing to say. And Mary pondered this for the rest of her life. What does it mean to be that her heart would be pierced with a sword so that the thoughts of other hearts will be revealed? She is somehow connected to the process of enlightenment. When hearts being revealed, thoughts of hearts being revealed is light shining on the inner life. And Mary's sufferings are a part of this process. That's all Simeon says. It doesn't explain what he means. But we who are pondering it and who know a little bit about the role of Mary in the work of salvation, know that Mary is a participant in the process. That's why she's standing at the foot of the cross. Standing at the foot of the cross, she experiences this piercing, not a literal sword, but the sword of sorrow. And because she's there, and because Jesus entrusts to her the work of a mother, she becomes an instrument of light for others, of spiritual life for others. The thoughts of many hearts may be revealed, and we hope, once those thoughts are laid bare before the light of revelation, hearts will turn to God. She becomes the mother of all who believe. So there's a lot happening here, and this is understandable. If God comes into the world, well, there's a lot happening, because once God is with us, there's no limit to what he can do, what he himself can do, and what he can do through those who believe. So we are encouraged here to be like Simeon, to welcome the light, to come out of the darkness. And we're also encouraged to entrust ourselves to the intercession of Mary. Mary, who has a unique and essential role in the enlightenment of hearts.